Thank you for joining us this Christmas season on the Mormon Channel as we present programs to inspire, instruct, and illustrate the spirit of Christmas. This is Stories from First Presidency Christmas Devotionals, Gift Package 13. People give all kinds of things for Christmas: toys, goodies, clothes, and the latest high-tech gadgets. But perhaps the most important thing we can give is the gospel of Jesus Christ. President Gordon B. Hinckley shared the story of a man who, with great sacrifice, did his part in spreading the gospel. President Hinckley read a letter about it in the 1983 Christmas devotional.
May I read to you a letter that came to me only a few days ago? It came without solicitation. The writer, whose name I will not disclose, has given his permission to read it to you. He wrote, "Dear President Hinckley, an hour ago I had a very special experience that led me to writing this letter. I was walking on my way home, and a sudden feeling came over me that somewhere there is a young man who, except for money, qualifies to serve a mission for the Lord, and that I was to provide him with the necessary funds to serve a mission. I don't have any idea who and where this young man is, but the feeling came over me that you would know, and I was to put the funds into your hands and see to it that he serves his mission. That left me in tears. I arrived home and asked my wife how she felt after I had told her of the experience. She, of course, consented. I am enclosing a check for $3,000, but the figure that came to my mind was $4,000. This is all the money that is available to us at present, but next month we will send in another check for $1,000. I am still in my training as a physician, and I have to work extra hours to earn a living for my wife and three daughters. And we do not have money for a down payment on a house. We have been trying for 5 years to save for a house. 3 years ago, a similar feeling came over me as of tonight. But as we thought about it, we felt that the Lord was giving a signal to be prepared to put at the altar what he requires of us. We decided then that once I am through with my training, we will support as many missionaries as our finances will allow. Tonight, there was no doubt that the Lord has asked us to put that money on the altar. I am a convert to the church. I left my home in Beirut 13 years ago. Since age 11, I dreamed of finding the true religion, and 15 years later, I found it. My parents and their siblings are still in Beirut. That city, once a beautiful, prosperous, and peaceful spot, has now been ruined. There has hardly been any family that didn't lose a member during the 8 years of strife that has plagued that country. All my family and the grandchildren are fortunately alive and well. Two rockets were fired at my parents' residence in Beirut, but none was hurt. When Israel bombed southern Lebanon, my two grandmothers were living there. The homes on every side of them were hit by the bombings, but not their home. I have missed death as a child on more than one occasion, but a divine power has saved me each time. When I came to America, I was given no hope in gaining acceptance into a medical school because I was not a U.S. citizen. A voice within me whispered that I will be a physician one day. I have attended one of the best schools in the country on a scholarship. I then went to another medical school for a reason totally unknown to me. I was also given a scholarship there. At this time, the war was at its peak in Lebanon. A year later, I was miraculously led to church literature and joined the church. 9 months later, I met my wife, and we were married in the temple 3 months after we had met. As you see, I owe the Lord more than $4,000. He has given me my eyes. eyes, my hands to work and earn a living, and also the opportunity to come to a beautiful country with gracious people. The Lord has preserved my family in Lebanon for a purpose and a reason. One day my patriarchal blessing regarding them will be fulfilled. We leave the money in your hands to use according to the inspiration of the Lord vested in you. We love all those who labor in this great cause. May God bless us all in our service to Him. Sincerely, and he signs the letter. That letter, better than any feeble words of mine, breathes the spirit of Christmas, exemplifies the golden rule, and speaks with eloquence of the love of Him who gave His life as a sacrifice for all.
You can't put a price on the value of the restored gospel of Jesus Christ. In the 1995 Christmas devotional, President Gordon B. Hinckley shared another story about a man who made a sacrifice to help others. President Hinckley read the story of a Canadian Mountie who trudged through deep snow and frigid weather to bring Christmas presents to a young family.
Somehow, in the magic of this season, there is less of hate and more of love. There is less of greed and more of giving. There is less of indifference and more of gratitude. If only for a brief season, we are inclined to lay aside our selfishness and reach out to help others. We see this all around us in the generous outpouring of kindness in behalf of those in need and pain and distress. We are more inclined to step beyond the narrow confines of our self-centered routines and reach out to help others less fortunate. As an example of this outreach, permit me to repeat a story that I read some years ago in our Ensign magazine. It is an account of the experience of Brother W. Lamar Palmer, a member of the church who lives in Brandon, Manitoba, Canada. For years, he was a member of the Royal Canadian Mounted Police. In 1955, he was in charge of a detachment in the Interlake area of Manitoba. He writes, "We'd receive very heavy snow in November and December, and travel in rural areas was difficult. But on December 24th, Christmas Eve, we ran around the area delivering gifts, clothing, toys, festive food, and turkeys. We had very little difficulty reaching most of the homes, but the most difficult one we left for the last, a family living on a little used bush road about 4 miles from town. The family consisted of the mother and four children, ranging in ages from 1.5 to 8 years. There was no father. They had no telephone. I had one of the junior constables with me, and we drove to the store to inquire about the roads and the exact location of the home. The storekeeper drew a map for us and said we would be able to drive about 3 miles north, but from there the family lived on a side road that had not been plowed, as they were the only family living on it. He was quite concerned because he had not heard from them for about 2 weeks. By this time it was nearly 7 o'clock and dark. It was cold, but fortunately there was no wind. The sky was clear. There was a bit of a moon. We managed the 3 miles without difficulty, but at the side road our hearts sank. The road was filled with snow. There was not even a trail through it. We studied it carefully and wondered whether we should even try to walk through it. We started out, but the snow was over our knees in most places. It was hard going. We considered turning back. Besides, we could scarcely see, and we were afraid we would miss the house. The journey of only a little over half a mile seemed like 100. I guess the thoughts of my own young children kept up my determination. Finally, my companion thought he saw a light through the trees, and a short time later we saw a small cabin with a dim light in the window. we had found. Almost exhausted, we struggled through a gate in the wired fence and up a bit of path to the house. Inside, we could hear children's voices. After we knocked, there was complete silence for a few moments, and then the door slowly opened. It must have been a shock to see two burly policemen dressed in buffalo coats. They looked apprehensive, but when they saw the sleigh and box of presents, the expressions changed to amazement and joy. One little voice cried out, "See, Mama, Santa Claus did come." The mother burst into tears. Then she threw her arms around us. "You are an answer to our prayers," she said. "It's a miracle. Nothing else. A miracle." Through her tears, she told us she had tried to explain to her children that Santa would not be able to find them this year with all of the snow, and there wouldn't be any presents or any Christmas dinner. But the children couldn't believe it. The oldest boy said, "We can pray." And he insisted they all kneel together. Because the other children wanted to, the mother agreed. But she dreaded the disappointment they would suffer when their prayers were not answered. "We had hardly said amen when you wonderful men knocked on the door," she told us. With joy in our hearts, we laid out the big turkey and other food and gifts. And then we were smothered with hugs and kisses from four little children. Everyone shed tears, including two big policemen. The family had not dared leave the home because of the deep snow. Before we left, the children showered us with more hugs and 1,000 thank yous. The trip from the car to the house had been a struggle every step of the way. But on the return journey, we were so overwhelmed by the Christmas spirit, we just about floated back. Christmas the next day with my wife and three little boys was made even more joyful by the memory of four little faces in a humble cottage way out there in the bush and their faith in the spirit of Christmas. Brother Palmer is now 40 years older than when he had this experience. He's not well. We hope he's watching this service. We send him our love. That beautiful and touching story could be repeated in a variety of circumstances 1,000 times at this season of the year when hearts reach out to others.
The sacrifice Brother Palmer made that cold Christmas Eve in 1955 made his Christmas Day all the better. When you choose to give, you never know. You may just be the answer to someone's prayer. Thank you for spending time with us this holiday season. This has been Stories from the First Presidency Christmas Devotionals, Gift Package 13. We hope these stories have helped bring the true spirit of Christmas into each of your lives. You can learn more about the Mormon Channel and check out other programming at radio.lds.org. Merry Christmas from the Mormon Channel.